Very happy to have Brother Louis Graber with us this morning. We'll look to him for the message after this. So much enjoyed the singing this morning. That very first song we sang of breaking the bread of life. And we had an interesting discussion some time ago on what it means to that phrase in there where it says, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord." And I trust that that's an experience that's real in us, for us, is that even outside of reading the Word of God, that there's a relationship with God, with our Lord, that is vibrant, that if the Bible were taken away from us, that we would still have this in our heart. And then that last song we sang, "Trust and Obey," was just distilled so beautifully in that the essence of the Christian life is to walk with Him, and there's a lot of beautiful promises, but it comes from trusting and obeying, and it's just, I really appreciated those. In our Sunday school lesson, we talked about Babylon and the pride of Babylon some, and the destruction of that. And it's interesting how God allows us to learn lessons in a lot of different ways. But I'd like to look at something, the opposite of that this morning. In Luke chapter 9, and if you want to open the sacred page to that part, there is a number of, incidents in just a few verses here that are really powerful. Luke chapter 9 begins with the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. And then in verse 37, I'm going to read 37 to 50, is immediately following that. And that was a tremendous event for those that were present. And it impacted their Peter's writing in a very definite way. I'd like to start reading with verse 37. This is immediately after this tremendous experience with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. "And it came to pass on the next day that they were come down from the hill. Much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, 'Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, his spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood this not, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set it by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." There are a number of things in these few verses that are really outstanding. One is that there was a situation that needed help desperately. And the disciples, the man came to someone that was close to Jesus, and they were unable to help. But when Jesus came, he cast out the devils, and the child was healed, and he delivered him to his father. And it seems like very soon after that, the disciples witnessed somebody else doing this, and they forbade them. And I don't know what their problem was. Maybe it was pride. Maybe that was the old Babylon just rising up again. But whatever it was, Jesus told them to forbid him not. They forbade him because he followed not us, he said. But he said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. But I'd like to back up just a little bit more and see what beauty that Jesus pulled out of the life of a child. And those of us that remember our firstborn or secondborn, or in some cases a tenth born, we know that baby, although the least, is the greatest, because life begins to revolve around that person. And it's not with any thought of the youngster. It's not at least not at the beginning. It's not his intent or her intent that life revolves around me and she makes it happen. It just does, because it's the natural thing. He that is least is the greatest in the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And sometimes he that is least in our homes is the greatest because of their needs and so on. But, you know, we could analyze it and go beyond any prophet. But I think what Jesus is teaching us here, that humility is such a valuable thing in the sight of God, and that's the character trait that he was pulling out by example of this child, is there is no thought of promoting themselves and pushing others down and so on. You know, that happens as they get older, but that wasn't happening here. And that was a thing that was beautiful to Jesus, is that this person wasn't trampling upon others and putting them down, but he was just saying, this is what's important in the kingdom of God. And so when we look at a newborn, and this is what we see. We see something that is beautiful. They're concerned. They have no. They're not concerned at where they get their hair cut, that it looks nice, and that it, you know, it's just so many of the things that come later are absent in that beautiful child, and so it's right that we celebrate that beauty. In that kind of way. He that is least is the greatest in the kingdom of God. So this morning we have the privilege of having another youngster born to our church family, or into the family. We're glad for Jared and mine and their little one. And so we'd like to have them come up after prayer. Let's bow our heads for prayer.